Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hey, that's all tied to our 12:35 guest, too. The Mooch is going to be with us. Anthony Scaramucci, who, as of a couple hours ago, had been kicked off Twitter because he called the president, what, the fattest president since Taft? That's how you get kicked off Twitter? Considering everything the president says on a regular basis, that gets you kicked off? So I don't know if he's back on or not, but yes, Anthony Scaramucci is with us at 12:35. Of course, the president, as accurate as always on this guy, by the way, he's wearing a Trump 2020 shirt. He's one of your guys, Donald. He's on your team. So, yes, Mr. Scaramucci's with us at 12:35. Shaletta, because it's Feisty Fridays, and the Mooch certainly fits into Feisty Fridays. She's in the house, 1 o'clock, and my father also will be in the house at 2:35. Adam Carter, it looks like we're not going to be able to buy Greenland. Were you disappointed? Were you, first of all, you're surprised that we were considering buying Greenland?
I didn't know it was for sale.
I didn't know either, but now it looks like it's not going to work out. So my next question is, what should we try to buy instead? I mean, our countries, our islands, our nations available. And when's the last time we had a transaction like that in the world, Cook? Can you think of something where one country said, yeah, you can buy us? Obviously, Hong Kong is having a bit of a problem right now.
Well, and it wasn't exactly a purchase when Russia took the Crimea from Ukraine.
I don't think there was a lot of
transactioning going on.
Listen,
there.
That wouldn't have happened under President Trump.
No,
that would not have happened. That was all Obama was way too soft. We know that. Yeah, the Brits in Hong Kong and that dynamic with China. Carter, any gut instinct?
Which Dexter suggests we should wait until Black Friday to buy Greenland. Maybe that'd be get a little deal on it. Or Prime Day?
Yes, Amazon. Maybe we just Amazon Prime it. How about the Bahamas?
Who do the Bahamas belong to?
I don't know.
They're a sovereign nation, I believe. The Bahamas.
I think they are. What would you think about adding the Bahamas to our, I guess, our like our portfolio? Like it's a stock purchase. I like the Bahamas.
I like the Bahamas. I'm a little bigger, though. Let's go a little bit
bigger.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go bigger. I've got an idea for you. England. You know, they're struggling right now with the whole Brexit situation. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know what England is right now? A distressed asset, right? It's an asset you can buy, Cook. They're struggling right now. The president and Boris are tight. It's kind of a payback, too. I mean, it's a 40-year plus. Hey, guess what? We not only left you, we're not going to – and then we beat you.
And then we beat you again.
We beat you again. We have to bail your butt out occasionally. We're going to buy you now. What would you think about England?
Everybody's talking about trying to put a football team over there, so why not, right? If we're going to Americanize it, Americanize it.
Carter, you said bigger. Where is England on your list?
I think it fits in. You know, they speak English, last I heard. That helps.
Thank you, President Trump. They do. What if we have to trade something? What should we trade? I say the Dakotas. I say North and South Dakota, we trade to lower the price. For us, it'd be an asset because now we've got this other country that's right next door to us.
Well, can we make it like a three-team swap, right? I mean, because Canada is still technically a Commonwealth of the United Kingdom, right? So Canada gets the Dakotas, and then we get England, and everybody, you know, we just do a big trade like
that. Or you could just give Canada Alaska. I mean, it's pretty much.
Oh, I don't know if I want to give Alaska. Do you want to give Alaska?
There's a lot of oil up there.
And we see Russia from right there. I want to give the Dakota. Do you really want the Dakotas? If we can pay less by giving away the Dakotas.
It looks awkward having Canada dip down there right next to us.
We've got that little bump in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, it's
up into Canada.
Just give them that, the northwest angle.
Yeah, is that going to really cut the price, though, if we just give them the northwest angle? I'm just thinking of Canada. It's kind of like, you know, Louisiana's the boot state. Canada would have their boot. You know,
a boot.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
Would you miss anything about the Dakotas, Carter? I mean, Mount Rushmore is going to be a bit of a problem.
That'd be a bit awkward, yeah.
I mean, you could still visit, right?
But, I mean, they're going to take down Mount Rushmore, aren't they?
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
Or blast it and put their own, maybe try to chain, modify it.
One big Justin Trudeau on there.
Well, he's on the ropes right now himself. He's got an ethics investigation going. How about this? We trade them, the Dakotas, and we here in Minnesota, we get Mount Rushmore.
We get the Black Hills? Can we just carve that piece out?
Well, could we just pick it up and then put it?
Yeah, I don't think that works, no.
I'd take it in Plymouth. I mean,
I'm sure you would, but I don't think it works that way.
Carter, could we cut out Mount Rushmore and just bring it somewhere to Minnesota?
Probably tough.
That'd be probably a little bit difficult. All right, we'll lay out the guests. Hey, we're going to be at the fair 6 days from now. 6 days. We need a day, Carter, day like this would be a perfect day to be at the Minnesota State Fair. We want your feedback all throughout the day. 651-989-9226. The latest on smokes and the warnings, the graphic outlines. You with those ideas? You're against those ideas? Let's discuss when we come back. We'll keep you up to date, by the way, on the Little League World Series. Our club about to start postponed last night, so keep you up to date on that. Adam has an update right now.
That's strange.
Playing underwater.
Yeah.
Okay. So 1 year ago today. Who am I to say? 1 year ago today, Aretha passed away. So our plan is to play Aretha tunes throughout the show.
This is working just fine.
What, you want to play that again?
Hang on.
Can we just play that exact same one?
Hang on, I was changing the highlight. Hang on 1 second.
Yeah, I mean that's a good start.
Yeah. Why is it? What in the world?
I think those are the hamsters, Carter, that are making the Victrola work. There we go.
Too long of a run-up.
Yeah. Oh.
Get to it, Aretha.
Okay, Count Basie over there.
You know, timing is key. And that guy just wasn't. The timing was off on Tom Delmonico.
Yeah, that was one of our texters yesterday. As you said, Dudley Riggs checking in. on what we should buy, by the way, a number of good texts. Trump is pragmatic. Greenland will have the same weather as the Bahamas in 100 years. Yeah, I mean, get ahead. Lots of oil in North Dakota. Yeah, that makes it a better asset to sell.
Yeah.
Okay, if we can trade North and South Dakota and we get England, I don't care how much oil they have. Okay, and you know what? Mount Rushmore, freshen it up. You know, let's go. Come on, come up with something new. Buy Mexico, fix it up, and flip it. That's another good thing. Can we just buy one of these countries, we improve it, and we make money on it? Could the three of us buy like a home around town, fix it up, and then sell it? What is the
ourselves?
Yeah. What's the
number? Without hiring a contractor?
Exactly.
No chance.
That's the problem.
I'd argue there's no three worse people to pick.
No.
Exactly.
We'd have the place burned down within like a week.
I was just thinking the other day I was walking by and I could smell like there was some new construction. You could smell the lumber and stuff. And I was just saying, all the people my age, you can look back at the end, you know, and say, yeah, you know, remember built this or built
yeah.
that. And I could not even close to, you know.
That's so weird because, okay.
Getting a belt on, you know, with the tool belt with a bunch of nails in it.
I was actually about a week or two thinking the same thing and just was shaking my head at how inept I am at that. And I'd like to be able to build one thing. And I,
I mean, can you imagine the sense of accomplishment you'd have?
Listen, when I change the light bulbs, I feel pretty good. You know, locate the batteries. Give them Wisconsin for the UK. See, I kind of like Wisconsin. But, yeah, if it was straight up Wisconsin, do we get the whole UK for Wisconsin?
I mean, if that's the deal they want to make.
Wow, that's a really good deal. Is there a Groupon for Greenland available? Yeah, I did think of this one too. Jeffrey Epstein's Island. Oh, no, it's too disgusting. Trump actually wanted to buy Iceland and got it mixed up.
It's entirely possible.
That's excellent. All right, so here we go. 9 years after the FDA first proposed graphic images as warnings on cigarette packs, but was stopped by the tobacco companies in a court battle, the agency announced later yesterday that it's finally issuing a new set. 13 proposed warnings would cover the top half of a cigarette pack to be used in rotation. The person who runs the FDA's tobacco division says, when you look at the current warnings on the side of cigarette packs, they are virtually invisible. The photos will involve lung and bladder cancer, diabetes, a chest incision scar, blackened lungs, so on and so forth. It's unclear whether the tobacco companies would fight the latest proposal. The warnings are required under the Tobacco Control Act, which Congress passed in 2009, the agency unveiled its first choice in 2010. A year later, the FDA whittled down the images to 9. Public health advocates loved them, but tobacco companies fiercely objected, and a group sued the FDA, and in 2012 convinced an appeals court that these specific graphic images violate the First Amendment rights of free speech. That is the tough call. Right? Cigarette smoking is a legal product. Cigarette smoking has the potential to kill you, to stain the quality of your life. And there are tens of millions of people in this country alone who can back that up by what has happened in their lives. We have a lot of products which potentially, when abused, can harm. Are we going to put the same type of images on those products? Alcohol is right near the top of the list. Where's your line in this one? Because we have the warnings already, and right now the warnings are stale and old, and people don't pay any attention. Will this be influential? The person who's going to see the graphic image of someone in front of them whose lives have been changed immeasurably, will it really have an effect? A lot of questions. I have some opinions. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from Adam and Dan. Where do you stand on what the FDA wants to do? They want to put these horrific, gruesome images on cigarettes to stop you from smoking. And, oh, by the way, if you smoke, we're going to tax you a lot because we got to pay for our stadiums. Is it fair to single out smokes in this way? Or are you okay with cigarettes and you're okay with alcohol and you're okay with fatty foods? You name it. We should do more of this. Is this way too much nanny stay for you? And legally, does it hold up? I want to hear from you. 651-989-9226. It's 1222. That is the Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to call us for a free estimate on Season Guard or Infinity by Marvin Windows. Yes?
Well, so I pulled this out of the system.
Yeah.
All the time that I spent putting stuff in there, I just went and tried to resave it again, and it plays just fine at my desk. But for some reason, I pull it up here in the studio, and we get the underwater world.
Carter.
I'm very frustrated.
That's a feeble excuse, don't you think? I mean, are we doing the show at Cook's desk? Right here in this massive studio with the carpet from 1974. Yeah, you did put in a fair amount of time.
Yeah. And you look at the file, everything looks right. I have no idea why it's doing it.
Sure. Well, you want me to take a look at it?
Andy!
Yeah, why don't you come over? Yeah.
Andy! That was one of the great John Williams. What was Andy's last name?
Hofferman.
That's right. Super guy.
Great guy.
If Williams had any issue.
Andy! Andy, the water isn't working in my house.
If you're putting this on smokes, Carter, you're putting this on other items for me. It has to be consistent. And I know we have restrictions. And all of our amendments aren't just as written and we don't change it. But, man, a legal product go this far. These have been used in many, many, many other countries. And they say... The data is pretty strong showing it did have an effect. I don't think anybody is paying attention to warnings anymore. I'm still skeptical that the person who's decided to buy some smokes is not aware of the potential downside. So if it can hold up legally, which I'm still skeptical, and if we're saying other products are also in the mix and it's not just smokes, then I guess – I'm not the most confident yes on this one. Where are you at?
No, for the point you just made, who the hell smokes and has no clue that, boy, this could really do some serious damage to me? If they're going to do it for anything, they should do it for vaping. I mean, we just had this story here with people, teens, you know, having these problems with vaping. You know, do it to that. It's, you got to be living under a rock. If you don't know the damage you can do smoking cigarettes.
Well, but to that point, isn't the pushback that the people that don't know or don't quite get it are younger people, right? And that's where we're targeting these things is to try and, you know, it's the scared straight bit. If the text warnings aren't going to get through kids because kids think they're indestructible when they're in their teenage years, that maybe these pictures will shock them out of that complacency and keep them from starting this habit in the first place?
I think that's fair, Adam, that if you're going to get to anybody, you are going to get to, and now we're seeing more and more, 18 to maybe even more and more, 21. Do you think it has an effect on those kids? But we're even saying for those kids, as dopey as we all can be at 21, 22, they know what they're doing, and just seeing this picture isn't going to alter anything in any sort of significance.
Well, I guess, but, I mean, you know, they were putting those pictures on there before we had this thing called the internet. And if I'm a parent and concerned to my kid about smoking, hit Google, lung disease, smoker's lung. And I'm sure you'd get all the photos you'd get.
Adam's 100% right. If they're going to do pictures of smokers, families sobbing at funerals because smokers know what the effect is doing to them, make it a reminder what it does to their loved ones. That's what is needed. Chad, food and alcohol are safe in moderation, while cigarettes are never safe. They fall in a separate category. Yes or no, do we think this is going to happen? Because we're going to see it go through litigation. Who knows how long it's going to take? My guess is yes.
I'm going to guess yes, because people just can't resist piling on smokers.
Yeah. Carter, yes or no?
Yeah, for that reason.
Yeah. Do we just have to play at the plate?
I believe Minnesota's leading.
All right. Let's just take a look at the...
smoke shot to right field over the right fielder's head.
Yeah. I mean, the Kentucky kid. Oh, the Kentucky kid was just couldn't figure out what was going on.
Ooh, great slide.
Terrible slide. What are you talking? He stopped right before home plate?
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Was he safe?
Eventually. Okay. It's time to check his glasses.
His foot touched home. He slid right onto home.
Can we rewind this? Somebody's watching this. Did the kid touch home plate?
What's the score?
1-0. He then reached out a little further. Yeah, we're dominating Mitch McConnell's Kentucky. 1-0. The mooch in a matter of moments.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Yes, we're playing all Aretha today. Sadly, 1 year after her passing, but an absolutely remarkable career. Our next guest is Anthony Scaramucci, who certainly has been in the news of late. I would say for the last few months. Anthony has been more direct in his criticism of the president, But then last Friday, and I did see this on Bill Maher. He was even more pointed. And the shock of no one, the president, with his 17 TVs in front of him, started directing more criticism right at Anthony Scaramucci. And it is ratcheted up all week between the two parties. And Anthony is kind enough to join us. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. I know earlier in the day, we had reports that Twitter had suspended you because you were picking up on what the president said last night when he was at a rally, when he was making fun of someone who he thought was a protester and was making fun of the protester's weight. Well, it turned out he was actually wearing a Trump 2020 shirt, and the president still was making fun of his weight. And you had tweeted out calling the president the fattest president since William Howard Taft. Are you back on Twitter as of now?
Well, look, they gave me a 12-hour suspension for that. So that was obviously a poor choice of words. And so I should have said he was proportionate to William Howard Taft in terms of his, you know, his size and his dimensions. I think that's less of an offense on Twitter. I mean, obviously, it's a little bit hypocritical, and it's obviously one of those things where we, you know, we see what many people are doing on Twitter. But I'm a conservative voice on Twitter, and so I have certain guardrails that are different than other people. And you know, my staff has pulled 50 tweets from liberals, which look way worse than what I said. But it is what it is. I said something inappropriate. But the truth of the matter is it was in response to what he's doing, because I think it's now important that we shed light on his method of disunifying all of us, his method of creating a license for anger for everybody. And he's created an age of impunity in a country whose first name is United. And so we should have unity, but we're getting from our commander-in-chief impunity. And I think enough is enough. And so I'm calling on my fellow Republicans who feel the same way as I do to speak more openly about it. So for me, it wasn't a road to Damascus moment, but it's been a gradual process where I've said, hey, you got to stop doing this or stop doing that, because it's very, very divisive. It's very horrific for the country.
Anthony and his wife, Deidre, have a podcast, which you can listen to through radio.com, same company that owns us, Mooch and the Misses. They're 50-some episodes in, so it's well worth listening to. I've listened to it a number of times. I've enjoyed it. So you have talked about, in this criticism of the president, about a number of people who share your views, a number of high-level people who have reached out to you since you started talking, and even well before, and items like you said you'd be surprised about the names who feel the same way. Don't you think you'll? Let me just follow up just briefly.
Yeah,
don't
start.
You think you'd add a lot of credibility to what you're saying? Because a lot of people really believe in what you're saying, but if there are those folks who are top level Republicans and they feel the same way, why not name them? Why not get more people to galvanize behind what you've been saying?
Well, okay, that's a very good question, because the cyber bully in chief has bullied those people into submission. And so, as I've pointed out, demagoguery requires blind obedience. It's not a loyalty where you and I are friends, you like some things about me, you may dislike some things. It's blind loyalty. And so what he's done is he's created this sort of Night King from the Game of Thrones hold on these people, because they're paralyzed in fear that they're going to get primaried or lose their position or lose their Secret Service detail. And he's fired 75 or 80 people and all of this sort of stuff. And so he's got the entire nation's capital paralyzed in fear. As you know, no legislation can get done because the other side has a tremendous distaste for this man. Additionally, his team, he doesn't listen to any of them. And so if you go through the team, he won't listen to anybody, so he takes nobody's counsel. So now what has to happen is we've got to get these people to come out in unison, which will take a little bit of time, but I predict that it will. But I will submit to you rhetorically, have you heard one senior Republican dismiss what I'm saying and proclaim what I'm saying is not true? Have you heard one say, hey, totally not true, blah, blah. And then have you ever said anything off the record about the president acting nuts or having mental instability or mental decline?
No, I've not. People within the White House have.
No, no, but I'm saying that rhetorically.
Others.
Meaning say to the senior official, if they're willing to get to the microphone and say that they're in the tank for them and they love them and blah, blah, well, okay, have you seen any mental decline or mental instability? And then they say no. You know, have you ever talked to any reporters off the record and said that? And then, you know, obviously reporters will keep their confidences, but now you'll be able to distinguish who the real patriots are who love their country, okay, and who the people are that are just really sitting in there, not just as partisans, but as self-preservationists. And so for me, I'm a private citizen, okay? I love my country. I'm a lifelong Republican. I went to work for the president because I believed that he had an agenda that could help people like the ones that I grew up with, blue-collar people who felt abandoned by the establishment politicians in Washington. He's done the very opposite. His record dictates that. He knows from the polling data that he can't win in the swing states. And so he's driving a wedge further to see if he can ferret out Trump supporters, okay, and increase their participation rate. And so I find it astonishing that I'm the only person in the Republican Party or the only former administration official that is willing to speak truth about this. I find it astonishing. And so I do believe now that I've created this opening, others who really love the country, who are American patriots, will come forward and speak the truth about the situation that we're in, and then the spell will be broken.
1244, Chad Hartman here with you on WCCO. Anthony Scaramucci, nice enough to join us. His podcast is available through radio.com, Mooch and the Misses. It's a good listen with his wife. I know you've been asked this before, but let me try it a little different way because people have said, why not before? And you said, fine, yeah. That is a fair criticism. I should have jumped in earlier. I just go back to even during the campaign, not even when he was president, Anthony, all the insulting, bullying words that clearly were not true, even if you believed in his agenda, and clearly tens of millions didn't you think this just isn't the character of a person who should be the next president of the United States?
Well, I mean, you know, I have said that I own this and I can't go back. Looking at him, and I did what people are still doing. Cast, and I said, well, this is good and this is good. That's not so good. And then, of course, he was running against Secretary Clinton, who, you know, was from the Democratic Party. But I think that, you know, I think there was a lot of people in my party that thought he would be a better choice relative to her.
But and, were the other Republicans better choices?
Well, you have to remember, I was with Governor Scott Walker. Yep. He came out of the race. I moved over to Governor Jeb Bush.
Yep.
He came out of the race, something the president said today in the press spray, which was correct. He said, I only joined him when I knew he was going to win. That was correct. I know he said that derisively about me, but the truth of the matter is I'm a loyal Republican, but he wasn't my first or second choice. But because of loyalty and the way I grew up and the policies, I did support him after that. And I did go to work for him because I love my country. And so I made great sacrifices, as you know. My wife and I were almost on the verge of divorce. That's sort of how that podcast came together. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, man, it's a lot cheaper than therapy, that podcast. Okay, 45 minutes where my wife's taking a cheese grater to my head, a lot cheaper than therapy.
I think that's probably true.
But the truth of the matter is I got it wrong, and 63.5 million people voted for him, and there's a lot of establishment people that went to his side of the ledger. And so you could say I got it wrong, and I'm now trying to make a correction, and you can shame me for that. But then I would caution people in shaming me for that, because we have to create an off-ramp for my other fellow Republicans. And so if I'm going to get shamed and roasted and toasted, it'll create more deterrence for them to speak the truth. And so, but I hear you. I that's deserved criticism. And so I don't really have a great response to that other than saying to you that I'm accountable for that as a mistake.
You have said a couple times this week, including in a Vanity Fair interview, which is available today, that you believe by next March, the The president will realize he cannot win, and he will announce that he's not running. Will this be a scenario, you think, where other people will come to him? Or what is the scenario where that will happen? Because you know, as of today, he thinks he's going to win, you know, 45 states.
He doesn't. He actually doesn't think he's going to win that. You know, he's got very low self-esteem. You can't be that big of a bully without levels of low self-esteem. And so.
So do you think he thinks he's going to lose at this point?
I think he thinks that that economy that he botched is starting to rumble. And I think he is worried. Yes, I do. I think he is now worried. He sounded very dissembled last night, very disorganized in his word choices. The night before, he was talking about calling off the election. That's a guy that's very fearful. He's also a projector. So when he calls somebody like me nervous and neurotic, I mean, those are not things you would describe me. You know, my wife says I'm hyper, but I'm definitely not neurotic. I don't know anybody that's ever saw me nervous in a situation at any time. Okay, I know how to shoot the target. So that's expressions of him. He's projecting. Okay, and so he is out of his depth. He's projecting, and he also is looking at these polling numbers, and he's hoping that he could pull an inside straight again, but he can't because he's got 2.5 years. Now, if they put up somebody like Elizabeth Warren, you know, he's going to probably win unless the economy rolls. I'm an objective guy. So I'm not going to sit here and be, you know, a Trump basher and that sort of thing. I'm just saying to you, look, right now, a credible moderate Democrat would beat him. Let's replace the jockey. You know, let's get him off the horse and get somebody else on there so that we can have a competitive fight in 2020.
Okay, so
He's Lyndon Johnson of the Republican Party.
So give me a couple Democrats who, if Donald Trump ran.
Yeah, well, Joe Biden at this point. Will beat him.
I don't think Joe Biden's going to. Do you think Joe Biden's going to make it there? I mean, he's off to a pretty lousy start.
I don't know. Yeah, I would say to Joe, if Vice President Biden, if I was on his team, I would say, hey, you got to be more mentally disciplined here because there's the high stakes program going on right now. But there are other Democrats. Kamala Harris is a moderate. The mayor is a moderate. I think Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, I don't think the country's ready for socialism. That's been a failed experiment for 150 years. And so, you know, I don't think people are ready for that. But I also think, God forbid, you know, President Trump could go down in history as a person that created the first socialist president, you know, because he's in, as I said, heavy mental decline. He takes no one's counsel but himself. He is sending out racially charged tweets, and he is trying to racially divide the country. And I will point out to your listeners that we will survive a recession if one happens, because that's like a bone break, and we can mend a bone. But to rip up, okay, I view the country as a very.
I got to jump in. I'm trying, Dan, if we could just check with him. We could get the last answer here. His phone is just unfortunately in and out, and we all have had that, right? All of our conversations sometimes it just goes back and forth. It's just one of those situations. I'd love to get him to just give that last answer, but let's do that. Let's just try one last time. Anthony, hopefully we have you back. Just pick up on what you were saying there at the end because it was just going a little in and out.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. I'm just saying that he is –
unfortunately, we just thank him and say we'd love to do it again. And it was great to have him on because he's such a huge part of the story right now. And it was great to get his insight. Again, he's got a podcast, Mooch and the Misses, and he is a huge part of the political discourse this week. You want to react to what he had to say? Said some pretty strong stuff. Mentally slipping. He will not run next year. He might be such a feeble candidate that he will be the next candidate. He will be the first candidate to provide a socialist to run this country. I know he's getting heat because people are saying he's just an opportunist at this point. I personally think he should have said these things years ago. I think a lot of us spotted this a long time ago. But when people are speaking what I believe is the truth, I have a tough time pushing back against them, and I'll be curious if other Republicans have the testicular fortitude to say the same damn thing. I want your feedback. 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. React away with a phone call or a text. Among my favorite Aretha tunes right here. Okay, on Anthony Scaramucci. Let's take a call right away. Brian is mobile. Thanks for listening, Brian. You're on WCCO.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
See, I have a comment about Anthony Scaramucci. See, you know, he's just another part of the echo chamber. It's just ridiculous hearing. And I like to see myself in the center. You know, I'm a Christian. My wife's a Muslim. You know, I'm poor, and she's an immigrant. We've got some other stuff going on in our family that, you know, it places us right in the middle. You know, I see both sides. And, you know, listening to what he was just saying, it's like listening to CNN and Fox News. It's either you're far to the left or
Yeah, but
far
but
to
this
right.
is a Republican who worked for the president who is now calling him out. He's the opposite of an echo chamber.
No. This guy, somebody's giving him some money. Somebody's paying him off. You know,
who's doing that?
Something. Who knows? Everybody's in it for money these days.
There's no zero proof of what you just said, Brian. None. That he was paid off. I mean, I got to go because work is up against the clock. So in other words, somebody actually has the temerity to tell the truth, and they're only saying it because they were paid off. I'm not buying it.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.